Unfortunately, the topic that I'm going to speak about today, many people do not heed until there's a storm in their life. I hope today to maybe preclude that for some of you. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. I'm going to ask all of you who are able to please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, beginning at verse 12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. In verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And then in Proverbs 25, verse 27 and 28, it is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray, God, that as we begin a new year, that, God, all of us can make a fresh start in many areas of our life. Lord, we pray that, God, that you would bless, God, that you would inspire, God, that you would encourage and challenge us in this particular area of our fitness. That, God, that we might give our bodies as a living sacrifice to you, holy and pleasing and acceptable. Speak to us now, God, through your word. We'll make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All of us mess up. All of us make bad decisions. All of us make poor choices. All of us have missed opportunities. All of us disappoint God. All of us hurt the people that we love. And because of that, at different times in our life, we need a fresh start. We need a do-over. We need to start again. And so today I'm going to begin a series of messages on making a fresh start. Today's going to be a fresh start in our fitness. Next week will be a fresh start in our finances. I tried to make them all start with an F. I don't know if that's going to help you or not to remember them. And by the way, Brother Rob is going to be teaching a great class on finances from a Christian standpoint. The Dave Ramsey material is probably the best that I've ever seen. So we're going to be looking at these different subjects. But today we're going to be thinking about our fitness. Probably no one ate too much over the holidays. And I'm sure that none of you gorged yourself on junk food while you were snowed in, right? On January the 3rd of this year, Dwayne Heilman, y'all know Dwayne, we call him Big D, okay? Dwayne will tell you he's in the 300 club. That is, he weighs over 300 pounds. But on his Facebook wall, he posted this on January the 3rd. He said, I won the weight loss contest at work over the holidays, even though I gained 1 pound. Man, wouldn't that be great in life if you could gain weight and still win? But the truth of the matter is that for most of us, when we gain weight, it's not a win. And so today I want to speak to you about making a fresh start in the area of our fitness. We spend a lot of time around here praying for sick people. But the truth of the matter is a lot of the sickness that we have, we bring on ourselves by not taking care of our bodies. And so today I want to share with you how to feel better physically. Anybody here like to feel better? Now, some of you didn't raise your hand. That means you want to feel worse. We got counseling for that, okay? All right, so today we're going to talk about how to feel better. Number one, develop a healthy attitude towards your body. Many folks have unhealthy attitudes when it comes to their bodies. Let me give you a couple of them. Number one, some folks reject their body. I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too big boned, I'm too small, I'm too whatever. But remember, God designed you, God created you, and God doesn't make any junk. And so if you're one of those people who say, I don't like the way I'm made, that's a bad attitude you need to get rid of. Secondly, a bad, unhealthy attitude is to perfect my body. That is, you know what, I'm going to turn into a fitness fanatic. I'm going to turn into one of those people that I'm at the gym 2 or 3 hours a day, and it's all about being a perfect 10. Listen, you're never going to be a perfect 10. But probably the one that gets most of us is the last one, and that is we neglect our body. It's not that we reject it or perfect it. We just don't take care of our bodies as well as we take care of our house or take care of our car or take care of some other possession. So what would be a healthy attitude? Well, number one, to respect your body. In Psalm 139, verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. That is, I'm gonna respect my body. That is, God made it. I'm part of God's creation. I'm going to respect that. But many times we do not respect it, and we abuse our body, and because we do that, we pay a price down the road. A lot of people in the medical field hear this all the time. If I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. We just don't respect our body. One fellow had come into this pastor's study, and he'd had a struggle with being overweight. And he was talking to his pastor about it. And about that time, a beautiful, slender young blonde come walking in. She looked at this overweight guy and says, Pastor says, if you catch me, you can marry me. And she takes off running. Well, he gets up and starts chasing her. Of course, he doesn't catch her. The next morning, early in the morning, his doorbell rang. He went to the door, and here's this same beautiful blonde. And she says, Pastor says, if you catch me, you can marry me. Boom, and off she goes. And he's running right after her, but he never catches her. And this happens every day. And each day, guess what happens? He gets closer and closer because, you see, he's exercising. He's losing weight. And so one day he wakes up and he says, today is the day. Today I'm going to catch her. By that time the doorbell rang, he's got his jogging outfit on. And there's this heavyset woman at the door. And she says, Pastor said, if I can catch you, I can marry you. Well, whatever works. Number one, respect your body. But number two, a healthy attitude is I'm going to protect my body. If somebody were going to break into your house, wouldn't you protect your family? If somebody's going to break into your building, wouldn't you protect your stuff? Well, it's a healthy attitude when we say, all right, my body is a gift from God, so therefore I'm going to protect my body just like I would protect anything else that I value. All right, so we need to develop healthy attitudes. This past Thursday, we had Good Timers, okay? Our health ministry team captain came and shared some really helpful stuff with us. She said, now what I'm going to tell you is simple. It's stuff you already know, but it's hard to do. So the second thing that you need to do is you need to motivate yourself to change. Many of the things I'm going to tell you today you already know. But what I hope to do is to inspire you to do something about what you already know. All right, so how can I be motivated to change? Well, I want to give you some physical reasons and some spiritual reasons. Physical reasons is I feel better. Everybody except a few wants to feel better. I've met a few people in life that I actually think they enjoy being miserable, okay? But most people want to feel better. Secondly, you're going to look better. Now, don't tell me you're not concerned about looking better. Most of you got up this morning and spent an hour looking better before you came to church, okay? So if I make these changes, I'm going to feel better and I'm going to look better. But the third reason is the most important reason, and that is I will live longer. Now, you might be all spiritual and say, well, that's all right, preacher. If I die young, I'm just going to heaven early. But the truth of the matter is the longer you're here, the more you're able to influence people for the kingdom of God. All right? So those are some physical reasons. Let me give you some spiritual reasons to be motivated to change. Number one, God made my body. Psalm 139:14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. You're a special creation from God. You are the height. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. You are God's masterpiece. And so, therefore, you ought to take care of what God has created. Honda has spent years and millions of dollars on a humanoid robot. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this robot's name right, but it's Osimo. Close. But now, after all these years and after millions and millions of dollars in research and development, Osimo cannot do what a three-year-old can do. Do you understand when man and all of his technology and all of his inventions and all of his work and money and effort cannot create something as simple as a three-year-old child? Well, think about it. You're an adult or you're a teenager or you're older than 3 years of age. God has made you and God has created you, and you ought to take care of what God's made. Second, Jesus paid for my body. In 1 Corinthians 6, don't you know that your body is the temple of God who is in you, whom you receive from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your body. So here's a simple question. Are you honoring God with your body? That's a command. You understand, if you're not doing this, honoring God with your body, you're breaking a command, which is sin. You're sinning against God. A gym dealer walked into a country store, and he saw a large purple rock about the size of a big baked potato. And he said to the owner, how much you want for that rock? He said, $15. The man said, you want $15 for that rock? He said, well, I'll sell it for $10. He said, all right, I'll buy it. Well, that purple rock that was a door prop turned out to be a 1,905-carat star sapphire stone, and the gem dealer sold it for $2,280,000. But the store clerk was using it for a door prop. You see, it took a lover of stones to see the value and the worth of that rock. It took a lover of souls to see how much value and worth you are. And how valuable and how much are you worth. Jesus left heaven. He died on a cross, rose from the dead, because that's how much you're worth. You should honor God with your body because Jesus has paid for it with His shed blood. And then number three, the Holy Spirit lives in my body if I'm a believer in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" That is, if you're a Christian, you are a living temple. This past Wednesday night, I started a new series on the tabernacle, and I was talking about how God says it is to be a sanctuary. And in the process, Wednesday, I told folks, I said, we recently had somebody over here in this section who had a picnic at church. And what they did is they got out some pecans and crushed them up and eat them and left all of the hulls right there in the floor. And people come up after and say, "Preacher, I can't believe somebody do that." And they're really upset about it. Well, what would happen if we'd get upset about how the temple of God, our bodies, are being trashed? Well, I think it'd motivate us to make the kind of changes that we need to make that will honor God. And then secondly, stop making excuses. Stop making excuses for not doing the right thing. In Acts 24 and verse 25, as Paul discovered, discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." Governor Felix said this is not a convenient time. In other words, he was making excuses for not doing the right thing. Many times we make excuses. Well, you know, it's just in my DNA. Well, it's just how I'm made. We make some kind of excuse. Well, I just don't have time. I recently watched a video where a guy did a thing about healthy versus unhealthy. I won't tell you the whole thing, but he starts off and he holds up a bunch of carrots and he says, "Is this healthy or unhealthy?" He said, "Well, these carrots grow below the ground in the dirt. Dirt has germs, it has bacteria, therefore carrots are unhealthy." Then he holds up a box of Lucky Charm cereal. He said, "Healthy or unhealthy?" He says, "Well, they're lucky, and it's always better to be lucky than to be unlucky, and so Lucky Charms are healthy." You think, this guy's messed up. He's messed up. But how many times do we use similar kind of logic to justify the things that we do that hurt and harm and destroy the temple of God? Third step is follow God's law of health. In 3 John verse 2, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." Does God want us to do well spiritually? Yes. Does God want us to do well in our soul? Yes. But notice here, he says, "I pray that just like your spirit is doing well, that your health may be well." It is God's will that you and I be healthy. It is not God's will that we be sick. All right, so what does that mean? Number one, I will maintain an ideal weight. We're going to go from preaching to meddling. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 4, "That each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable." All right, notice there it says you should That means this is something I'm supposed to do. And then notice he said learn. You see, it's not automatic that you know what to do. Sometimes you have to read. Sometimes you have to grow. Sometimes you have to learn new ways of doing things. But he says there that you should learn to control your body so that it is holy and honorable. Somebody who didn't know you, if they would come and do a physical exam of you, would they conclude that you are a person of self-control and that your body is presented to God as holy and honorable? Or would they say it needs some work? Let me just throw some things out to you. Did you know that there are, according to the Center of Disease Control, there are 72 million obese Americans? Now, you understand that it's one thing to pack on some extra pounds at the holidays that you're going to work off a couple of weeks later. But obesity means I'm 20% or more overweight. All right, now, come back there. He said, we ought to learn self-control. Now, here's the thing I want to ask you. Do you control the fork or does the fork control you? And if you cannot control the fork, you're not a person of self-control, and that does not honor God. And so I'm going to maintain an ideal weight. And by the way, if you're obese, let me tell you the health problems that that causes. And again, this is from the Center of Disease Control. Being overweight or obese increases the risk of hypertension, high cholesterol, high triglycerides, type 2 diabetes, coronary heart disease, stroke, gallbladder disease, osteoarthritis, sleep apnea, and some cancers, including breast cancer and colon cancer. And yet in the church, we make fun of being fat. I remember I was at the Pathway bookstore. That's a Church of God bookstore, okay? And if you know anything about the Church of God, they put a great deal of emphasis on holy living, okay? And I was in there, and the manager said to me, he said, preacher, don't you want a puppy? I said, no, I don't need a dog. He said, I only got two left. I got a Church of God puppy, and I got a Baptist puppy. And I said, all right, I'm going to bite. What's the difference? He says, well, the Church of God is a fat puppy, and the Baptist puppy is a skinny puppy. I said, how do you get that? He says, well, in the Church of God, he says, you know what? We can't smoke, we can't chew, we can't dip, we can't drink, but boy, can we eat. You understand what he was saying? He was making fun of something that God takes seriously. Give me an example of what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, we have to move these chairs. I believe they weigh about 12 pounds apiece. And when we move them, I generally stack about four of them up. I only stack up four. You want me to tell you why? That's as long as my arms are. Okay? So I'm going to stack these four up, and I'm going to pretend that I'm going to move them. See what I'm talking about? All right? And that's how we move the chairs. Now, how would you feel if I toted these chairs down these front steps here? You don't want me to do that? Well, what if I go over here to these steps? Well, we have to get them off of the stage. Where's my son? Where's little Isaac? All right. I'm gonna tote these chairs, and I'm gonna carry little Isaac in his other arm out to the car. Y'all think that's a good idea? And yet, if you're 50 pounds overweight, you're toting those four chairs around everywhere you go, every day, and everything you do. Now, what do you think that would do if I carried those four chairs around on my back? What do you think that would do to my back? What do you think that does to my muscles? What do you think that does to my heart? Well, that's exactly what it's doing to yours. Hey, but if you feed them, they'll come. So number one, I'm going to maintain an ideal weight. And then secondly, balance your diet. Now, a balanced diet is not a cheeseburger in each hand. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6 says everything is permissible. That is, I can eat anything I want as a Christian. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will destroy them both. Did you know the average American eats 29 pounds of French fries a year? The average American eats 24 pounds of pizza a year. Well, see, that's the point. Average means that half of the people eat more than that. Half of them eat less. And the average American eats 23 pounds of ice cream a year. Now, we all know that French fries and pizza and ice cream is good for you, right? Oh, yeah. Now, get this. The average American drinks 53 gallons of soda. That's 106 of these a year. But it gets better. The average American consumes 155 pounds of sugar a year. I went back there in our kitchen. I believe this is the biggest container we have. Jimmy says it holds 50 pounds of sugar. All right, so that means the average American eats this entire container full of sugar three times a year. You say, preacher, I don't eat that much sugar. Do you understand there are 15 teaspoons of sugar in one 20-ounce can of Pepsi? Now, you think about that. How many of you would put 15 teaspoons of sugar in a cup of coffee? But every time you drink a Pepsi or a Coca-Cola or a Sun Drop, that's exactly what you're doing. Not only that, but it's in so many other things. How many of you like ketchup? Some of you think that's a food group. Ketchup is a food group. Well, if you look at the ingredients, it says tomato concentrate. And the second ingredient is high fructose corn syrup. Sugar. I mean, it's just K-Ro syrup. Okay? And so what we need to do is we need to have a balanced diet. Now, I'm not saying that you got to leave church today and eat only bean sprouts and tofu, okay? But what I'm saying is balance your diet. You know, be reasonable in what you eat. And by the way, I'm going to tell you a simple way to lose weight, and that is avoid eating white stuff. What am I talking about? Potatoes, rice, pasta, bread, sugar. You just stop eating those things. You can still eat everything else, and you'll lose weight. Just that simple. Balanced diet. If you can think about your plate like a rainbow, if you can have as many colors on there, you know, something green, something orange, something yellow. And then, number three, commit to regular exercise. Yeah, old me. Notice here what 1 Timothy 4:8 says. Physical exercise has some value. 1 Corinthians 9, no, I beat my body and make it my slave. Yeah, that's what we do. We whip our bodies into shape and we make it our slave, right? No, it's called sins of the flesh. What's the most common excuse for not exercising? I don't have time. Do you have the same amount of time as everybody else? You have 24 hours in a day. The question really comes down to priority. What's important? Is being healthy be important? Is feeling good and looking good and living longer, is that important? Then I'm going to find time. And then the second common mistake is I overdo it to start with. You didn't get in the shape you're in overnight, and you're not going to get out of that shape overnight. Okay? If you would just do something simple as walk for 10 minutes three times a day, you'd be amazed at how it will strengthen your bones, how it will strengthen your muscles, and how it will improve your heart and your lungs. Think about it. Jesus didn't drive anywhere. Jesus walked everywhere he went. You want to be like Jesus? Do some walking. Number four. And this is a hard one for me. Get enough sleep and rest. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night. For God wants His loved ones to get their proper rest. Now, some of you might say, Preacher, I don't have any problem with this all. You know, I can fall asleep at the drop of a hat. You ought to thank God for that. Some of us take medicine to go to sleep and still can't go to sleep, okay? It's called insomnia. But you need to have a certain amount of sleep. You need a certain amount of rest. Now, according to Harvard Medical School, not getting enough sleep causes the following problems. Are you listening? I'm giving you a justification to take a nap this afternoon. Number one, not having enough sleep causes memory loss. Number two, not having enough sleep causes weight gain. Number three, not having enough sleep increases accidents. Number four, now we know what's wrong with some onions. Not having enough sleep increases irritability and impatience. Some of you would be a better spouse and a better parent if you just took a nap, okay? Number five, not getting enough sleep can cause hypertension and an irregular heartbeat. And number six, not getting enough sleep can cause your immune system to break down. All right, so what am I going to do? I'm going to maintain an ideal weight. I'm going to get some exercise. I'm going to have a balanced diet. I'm going to try to get enough rest and sleep. And then, number five, abstain from toxins. In Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. See, sometimes what we do is we put poisons into our body. And again, we make excuses, we justify. And what I'm talking about now is putting illegal drugs or putting alcohol into our body harms our bodies. But somebody will say, but Jesus turned water into wine. He did. But it was new wine. You see, once you make wine, it takes 21 days for it to ferment. The first 21 days doesn't have any alcohol, okay? Jesus made new wine, wouldn't have had any alcohol in it, in my opinion. But here's what I'll do. You find some wine that Jesus made, and I'll drink it. Okay? Notice here what it says in Luke 1 and 15. Your son will be a great servant of the Lord. That ought to be the prayer of every parent. He must never drink wine or beer, and the power of the Holy Spirit will be with him from the time he is born. Who is this being said about? It's being said about John the Baptist. What did Jesus say about John the Baptist? He was the greatest man born of woman. And folks, if that was a good rule for John the Baptist, that's a good rule for Dennis the Baptist. Do you understand that in America, one out of every 12 adults is an alcoholic? Do you understand that in America, 100,000 people die a year because they have abused alcohol? Do you understand that every 1 ounce of alcohol you drink destroys 1,000 brain cells? Some of you don't have 1,000 extra to give up. And do you understand that after age 25, you and I, we don't grow any new brain cells? I mean, you understand if you destroy your skin, you can grow some more skin. But after age 25, you destroy brain cells, you don't get any more. 1 Corinthians 3:17 says, if any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Well, there's another toxin that I want to mention, and that's tobacco. If you chew, or if you dip, or you smoke, according to the Center of Disease Control, 480,000 Americans die every year because of tobacco use. Now, I know we have some folks here, and you started long, long time ago when we didn't know how serious a health problem this was. But we have people in this congregation who smoked for 50 years and quit. And if they can quit, you can quit. 480,000. You understand that's 1,315 people every single day. Do you understand that means the entire city of Cherryville dies every 3 days because they use tobacco? Let me put it in context for you. How many people are killed by firearms? How many people are killed by car wrecks? How many people are killed by AIDS and HIV? How many people are killed because of illegal drug use? How many people are killed by alcohol? And if you added all of those up, tobacco kills more than all of those others combined. Let me tell you how serious this problem is. The number of people that are killed by using tobacco is 10 times all of the people killed in all of the wars that America has ever fought. Does that put it in context? And so, if I'm going to honor God with my body, what am I going to do? I'm going to stop putting things inside my body that poison my body. Number 6. Live in harmony with God. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. Do you understand? If you're not living your life in harmony with God, you're at enmity with God. You're at warfare with God. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a battle you'll not win. So let me tell you one of the best things that you can do to be healthy, and that is to be at peace with God. To make your peace with Him, to live in harmony with God will actually make you healthier. I want to close by giving you a couple practical tips. Number one, make it spiritual. Whatever it is that you want to do with your body, don't make it about the physical, make it about the spiritual. Listen, I can be convicted about praying and fasting, and I can go 10 days and not eat anything because I'm praying and fasting. I go on a diet and gain 10 pounds, okay? Because when I go on a diet, all I think about is eating. But see, if you make it spiritual, I'm doing this and I'm doing it for God. What are some other practical tips? Get a buddy. It's easier when you have somebody else that's doing it with you. If you're talking about going and taking a 10-minute walk 3 times a day, if you got somebody to go walk with you, it's easier. Okay? Get you a buddy. And then number 3, find a plan that works for you. Your neighbor here, they might have lost 100 pounds, and you try it and it don't work at all. Find what works for you and then do what works for you. Next, this is easy. Just eat smaller portions. You know all that stuff that you like that's good? Just eat less of it, okay? And I'm not saying you can't eat anything that tastes good. Just don't eat as much. Let me tell you, the easier way to do that is buy smaller plates. Then when you fill up your plate, it doesn't have as much food. I know one fellow who lost 100 pounds. Let me tell you how he did it. Every time he'd go out to eat, he'd order it. When he got his order, he'd ask for a box. He'd take what he had, cut it in half, put it in the box, and say, I'm going to take that for lunch the next day. He just changed his portion, still ate the same stuff. Next, eliminate sugary drinks. Think about it, folks. 106 of these a year. You say, oh, I don't drink Sun Drop Pepsi. You know what? Sweet tea's got the same amount of sugar in it. You said, oh, but I don't like that diet stuff. Water's pretty good. It squeezes you a little lemon in it, okay? Next, keep it simple. Don't make it complicated. And then next, don't take the easy way. The easy way never works. Next, think about your children. Think about your grandchildren. Think about the church. Think about the kingdom of God. That if you are in better health, you can do more. If you're in better health, you're going to live longer. If you live longer, you're going to be able to influence more people for the kingdom of God. The last verse is this. Romans 12:1. Make a decisive dedication of your bodies. Notice it doesn't say spirit or soul. It says your bodies. As a living sacrifice, devoted and well-pleasing to God. This evening, we're going to honor Ben Crane and his service here to the church. He's 81 years old. And he has been serving as our custodian for 11 years and 1 month. You know what that means? That means he started when he was 70 years old. I want you to think about how we've all been blessed and we've enjoyed being around Ben. My mother died at 40. My dad died at 67. Everything that Ben has done for the last 11 years, my parents never lived that long to do any of that. Brother Ken here is going to be 82 years old on his birthday. He has blessed a lot of people in this congregation by being there in the difficult times of your life. But I'm here to submit to you, if he hadn't taken good care of his body, he wouldn't be here today. Most of you know, I got a little grandson. He's 15 months old. I'm 61 years old. What that means is if I take good care of myself, Brother Ken, 20 years from now, I'll be your age. And I hope I'm getting around as good as Ken is 20 years from now. But you see, what I'm thinking about is just not how well I can get around and the things I can do. But I'm thinking about living that long because, you see, I want to be a godly influence on that little fella. You see, my mom died at 40. My dad died at 67. My children, they grew up without the influence of my mom and my dad. My mother was the most loving person I've ever met. My dad was the most winsome Christian that I have ever known. And my children, they missed all of that. And part of that reason was my parents abused their bodies as young adults. And they had to pay the price as they got older in life. Our invitation is going to be simple this morning. It's our last verse. Make a decisive dedication of your bodies as a living sacrifice, devoted and well-pleasing to God. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, come to this altar and say, God, in 2017, I want to be healthier. I want to take care of my body. I want to be a person of self-control who controls the fork, who controls the spoon, who controls the cup. Some of you here today, you might have an addiction to tobacco or to alcohol or to some illegal drug. And you'd come today and you'd simply say, God, I can't do this without your help. Would you come today and ask God to help you to give your body as a living sacrifice to Him? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You that Jesus gave His life for our life. And God, help us to make those decisions, that God, that will honor You with our bodies. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions and our commitments. We'll make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would please stand as we sing, we invite you to come.